Echoes on the Hill. Chapter 1. A Broken Foundation. Andy sat at the kitchen table in the dim light of the overhead lamp, his hands wrapped around a chipped mug of coffee. The silence in the small Arizona home was oppressive, broken only by the sound of his mother's sharp, disapproving voice cutting through the air. "You think you're too good to work at the grocery store like your brother?" she snapped, pointing a finger at him from across the room. Her housecoat hung loosely on her frail frame, and her face was etched with lines of disappointment. "All these dreams about being a cop, and for what? They won't even take you." Andy stared down at the table, the rejection letter from the police academy crumpled in his fist. It wasn't the first time he had failed to live up to her expectations, but this sting was deeper. Being a police officer had been his dream since childhood, a chance to prove he was someone important, someone who mattered. "I told you," his mother continued, her voice rising, "they don't want boys like you. Always in your head, always weak. Now, I've had enough of your sulking. I talked to your cousin Angel. He'll take you in for a while. Maybe he can teach you how to toughen up." Andy's head snapped up, his chest tightening. "Angel? You're sending me to Los Angeles. Do you have a better plan?" she shot back. "He's family. He's doing well for himself, and maybe some of it will rub off on you. Lord knows you need it." Andy didn't argue further. There was no point. His mother always got her way, and deep down, he was relieved to leave the suffocating small town where his failures felt larger than life. The next morning, with his meager belongings stuffed into a duffel bag, he boarded a bus heading west. Los Angeles greeted Andy with a wave of smog and chaos. The city buzzed with energy unlike anything he had ever known, but beneath its glittering facade, there was an undercurrent of something darker, something dangerous. Angel was waiting for him at the bus station, leaning against a beat-up Cadillac with a cigarette hanging from his lips. Angel Man was a wiry man with sharp features and eyes that seemed to pierce through you. He greeted Andy with a smirk and a slap on the back that was a little too hard to be friendly. "Welcome to the big city, kid," Angel said, his voice dripping with sarcasm. "You're gonna love it here." The drive to Angel's apartment was a whirlwind of fast cars, neon signs, and Angel's nonstop chatter. He bragged about his connections, his business ventures, and his knack for making money. Andy couldn't help but feel both intrigued and uneasy. Angel had a charm about him, but it was laced with something sinister. The apartment was a cluttered mess, the air thick with the smell of stale beer and smoke. Angel tossed Andy's bag onto the couch. "This is your spot for now," he said. "Make yourself at home. But let me make one thing clear. You pull your weight around here, or you're out." "Got it." Andy nodded, unsure of what exactly pulling his weight entailed. He spent the next few days trying to find his footing in the city. He applied to the LAPD, hoping against hope that this time would be different, that he could finally escape the shadow of his failures. Meanwhile, Angel began to test him, dragging him into seedy parts of the city and introducing him to people who made Andy's skin crawl. "You've got potential, kid," Angel said one night as they sat in a smoky bar. "But you're too soft. If you're gonna survive here, you need to learn how to take what you want. Nobody's gonna hand it to you." Andy didn't respond. He was too focused on the letter in his pocket, the one he had received earlier that day from the LAPD. Another rejection. His dreams of becoming a cop were slipping further and further away, and for the first time, he began to wonder if Angel was right. Maybe the world didn't reward honesty and hard work. Maybe he needed to change. It didn't take long for Angel to seize on Andy's vulnerability. He began to paint a picture of a different kind of success, one that didn't rely on the approval of others. "Look, the police force doesn't want you? Fine. Screw them. There's other ways to make money. Better ways." "What are you talking about?" Andy asked, though part of him didn't want to know. Angel leaned in, a wicked grin spreading across his face. "I've got a business idea. All we need is a couple of girls who are willing to work for us. You in?" Andy hesitated, the words catching in his throat. But as he looked around at the crumbling apartment, at the city that seemed determined to crush him, something inside him broke. "Yeah," he said finally. "I'm in." Angel clapped him on the back, his grin widening. "Attaboy. You're gonna do great, kid. I'll show you how it's done." Andy didn't know it yet, but this decision would mark the beginning of his descent, a journey into the darkness that would forever change him. Chapter 2. Welcome to Los Angeles. The streets of Los Angeles came alive at night, a kaleidoscope of neon lights, blaring car horns, and the hum of humanity. For Andy, it was both mesmerizing and overwhelming. Angel drove them through the heart of the city, his Cadillac weaving through traffic with a reckless confidence that mirrored his personality. "See this?" Angel gestured out the window as they passed a bustling boulevard lined with bars and clubs. "This is opportunity. You just have to know how to grab it." Andy leaned against the car door, his eyes wide as he took it all in. He'd grown up in a sleepy Arizona town where excitement was rare and opportunities were scarcer. Here, the city seemed to pulse with energy and possibilities, but there was a darkness lurking beneath it all, a shadow that followed Angel wherever he went. Angel's apartment was a testament to his chaotic lifestyle. The small, dingy space was cluttered with beer cans, ashtrays overflowing with cigarette butts, and stacks of magazines and newspapers. The faint scent of marijuana hung in the air, mixing with the staleness of old sweat and fried food. "Home sweet home," Angel announced with a mock flourish, kicking a pair of dirty sneakers out of the way as he led Andy inside. "It ain't the Ritz, but it's mine." Andy set his duffel bag on the couch, the springs creaking under the weight. He surveyed the apartment, unsure where to start. "You don't clean much, do you?" he muttered. Angel laughed, slapping him on the back. "Relax, kid. You'll get used to it. Or you'll clean it. Either way, welcome to LA." Andy wasn't sure he would ever get used to it. The city felt like a different world, a place where people talked fast, moved faster, and didn't seem to care who got left behind. And Angel? Angel was like a shark, always circling, always looking for his next opportunity to strike. The days blurred together as Andy tried to find his footing. He applied to the LAPD with high hopes, determined that this time would be different. Meanwhile, Angel wasted no time pulling him into his world, introducing him to a cast of characters that seemed straight out of a crime novel. There was Benny, a wiry man with a nervous energy who ran a small pawn shop that doubled as a front for illegal dealings. Then there was Carla, a hardened woman who worked as a bartender, but had connections to just about every seedy operation in the city. Angel seemed to know everyone, and everyone seemed to owe him something. "You stick with me, kid," Angel told Andy one night as they sat in a dive bar, nursing beers. "I'll teach you how to get what you want. No more begging for scraps." Andy nodded, though he wasn't sure what Angel meant. He still held on to the hope that he could make something of himself, that the LAPD would see his potential and give him a chance. But that hope began to fade when the rejection letter arrived. Andy stood in the small bathroom of Angel's apartment, the letter crumpled in his hands. His reflection stared back at him in the cracked mirror, a mixture of anger and despair etched on his face. "You all right in there?" Angel's voice called from the living room. Andy stepped out, his jaw tight. "They said no." Angel smirked, leaning back on the couch with a cigarette in hand. "Of course they did. What did I tell you? The system's rigged, kid. They don't want someone like you. They want puppets." Andy sank into the chair opposite him, his mind racing. He had spent his entire life dreaming of becoming a cop, of wearing the badge and making a difference. Now that dream felt like it had been ripped away, leaving a void he didn't know how to fill. Angel leaned forward, his voice lowering. "Listen to me. You don't need them. You don't need anyone. You want to make something of yourself? You got to do it on your own terms." "How?" Andy asked, his voice barely above a whisper. Angel's grin widened. "I've got an idea. Something big. But I need a partner. Someone I can trust." Andy frowned. "What kind of idea?" Angel leaned back, taking a drag from his cigarette before exhaling slowly. "We're going to start our own little enterprise. You ever hear the saying, sex sells? Well, it's true. And this city's full of people willing to pay for it." Andy's stomach turned at the implication. "You're talking about prostitution." Angel shrugged. "Call it what you want. All I know is there's money to be made. Easy money. We just need a couple of girls to get started." Andy hesitated. This wasn't what he had imagined for himself. He had come to Los Angeles to build a better life, not to sink into the city's underworld. But as he looked around the dingy apartment and thought about his failures, a part of him wondered if Angel was right. Maybe this was his chance to take control. Over the next few days, Angel began to put his plan into motion. He had an uncanny ability to manipulate people, to charm them into doing what he wanted. Andy watched as Angel made calls, pulling strings and setting the groundwork for their operation. "We'll start small," Angel explained one night as they drove through the city. "Just two girls. That's all we need. Once we get things rolling, we'll expand." "And where do we find these girls?" Andy asked, his unease growing. Angel smirked. "Leave that to me." The Tucson girls arrived a week later. Maria and Elena were young, barely out of their teens, and desperate for a way out of their small-town lives. Angel had promised them jobs and a fresh start in Los Angeles, but it didn't take long for them to realize they had been lied to. Andy couldn't meet their eyes as Angel laid out the rules, his voice cold and commanding. "You work for us now. You do what I say when I say it. Got it?" Maria nodded silently, her hands trembling. Elena glared at Angel, but she didn't protest. They didn't have a choice, and they both knew it. Andy's stomach churned as he watched the scene unfold. He told himself it wasn't his fault, that he was just going along with Angel's plan. But deep down, he knew he was complicit. Chapter 3, Dreams Denied. The sun blazed over Los Angeles as Andy walked through the streets, clutching a folder of paperwork for the LAPD. This time, he had poured every ounce of himself into the application process, polishing his essays, practicing interviews, and preparing for the physical exam. He even avoided Angel's nightly escapades, focusing entirely on the idea of finally proving his worth. The precinct was a tall, imposing building, its windows reflecting the city skyline. Andy straightened his tie and stepped inside, ignoring the nervous flutter in his stomach. He imagined himself in a uniform, standing tall and commanding respect. It was a fantasy he had clung to for years, a dream that felt just out of reach. Inside, the receptionist gave him a polite smile as she accepted his folder. "We'll contact you soon," she said, but Andy couldn't miss the fleeting look of indifference in her eyes. He stepped back onto the bustling street, feeling a mix of hope and anxiety. He had done everything right this time. Surely this would be it. Surely he would get the chance to prove himself. That evening, back at Angel's apartment, reality came crashing down. Andy found the envelope waiting for him on the couch, its official LAPD seal mocking him. He tore it open with trembling hands, scanning the words that confirmed his worst fear: application denied. The words blurred as his chest tightened. He read the letter again, searching for an explanation. "Does not meet our current standards of qualification." It felt like a slap in the face. How could they decide he wasn't good enough without even giving him a chance? Andy sat down heavily, staring at the paper in his hands. His thoughts raced, flipping between anger, despair, and humiliation. How would he tell Angel? Worse, how would he tell his mother? He could already hear her voice, sharp and cutting. "I told you so. Hey, kid." Angel's voice snapped him out of his spiral. He looked up to see his cousin leaning against the doorway, a cigarette dangling from his lips. "You've been sitting there all night. What's the deal?" Andy didn't answer. He held up the letter, letting Angel read the rejection for himself. Angel chuckled darkly, shaking his head. "Tough break, huh? But what did I tell you? They don't want someone like you. Those guys are all about politics and ass-kissing. You're better off." "Better off doing what?" Andy snapped, his frustration boiling over. "Working in this dump? Following you around?" Angel's grin didn't falter. If anything, it grew wider. "That's exactly what you're gonna do. And trust me, you'll be thanking me soon enough." Angel wasted no time pulling Andy deeper into his schemes. The Tucson girls, Maria and Elena, were already under his thumb, reluctantly following orders and working for them. Angel had a way of breaking people down, of finding their weaknesses and exploiting them. Andy watched, uneasy, as his cousin's charm turned into cruelty. Maria was quiet and withdrawn, her brown eyes dull with resignation. Elena, on the other hand, fought back at every turn, her defiance earning Angel's wrath. Andy tried to stay out of it, but there were moments when he couldn't ignore the guilt gnawing at him. One night, after Angel had stormed out in a rage, Andy found Elena sitting on the couch, staring at the floor. Her lip was split, and a faint bruise marred her cheek. Andy hesitated before speaking. "You okay?" he asked, his voice low. She looked up at him, her expression hard. "Do I look okay?" Andy swallowed hard. "I didn't mean..." "Save it," she snapped, cutting him off. "You're just as bad as he is." The words hit him like a punch to the gut. He wanted to argue, to defend himself, but he couldn't. She was right. He might not have been the one giving the orders, but he wasn't stopping Angel, either. He was complicit. As the weeks passed, the operation began to grow. Angel pushed the girls harder, taking on more clients and pocketing the cash. Andy played along, helping to manage the logistics and keeping an eye on the girls. He told himself he was just doing what needed to be done, but the guilt never went away. One night, as they sat counting a stack of crumpled bills, Angel leaned back with a satisfied grin. "See? I told you this would work. We're making more money than we ever would flipping burgers or working some 9-to-5. Andy didn't respond. He stared at the money, feeling no sense of accomplishment. This wasn't what he had wanted. This wasn't success. Angel noticed his silence and smirked. You still thinking about that cop dream, huh? Let it go, kid. This is the real world. You want to survive, you play the game. Andy clenched his fists, the rejection letter flashing in his mind. Maybe Angel was right. Maybe the system was rigged, and this was the only way to get ahead. But even as he tried to convince himself, a part of him hated what he was becoming. The first real blow to their operation came late one night. Andy was in the apartment, counting money, when Angel burst in, his face twisted with fury. They hit us, he spat, slamming the door behind him. What are you talking about? Andy asked, confused. Those bastards from Southside. They took the girls. All of them. Maria, Elena, gone. Andy's stomach dropped. What do you mean, gone? I mean they're working for someone else now, Angel growled. And they took all the money we had stashed. Andy felt a wave of panic. Without the girls, without the money, their entire operation was ruined. What are we supposed to do now? Angel's eyes burned with anger, his hands balling into fists. We're not letting them get away with this. They think they can mess with us? They have no idea who they're dealing with. Andy didn't respond. He had seen this side of Angel before. The dangerous, vengeful side that didn't care about consequences. And for the first time, Andy began to wonder if he had made a mistake by trusting his cousin. Chapter 4, The Tucson Girls. The loss of Maria and Elena was more than a financial blow. It was a humiliation. For Angel, the idea that anyone could cross him without consequence was unthinkable. For Andy, it was a stark reminder of how deeply entangled he had become in his cousin's world. Angel paced the small apartment, a cigarette clamped between his teeth as he ranted. They think they're tough because they run a few blocks. Southside scum. We'll show them who's in charge. Andy sat on the couch, staring at the empty coffee table. He couldn't shake the image of Maria and Elena. Their frightened faces burned into his memory. He had tried to tell himself it wasn't his fault, but deep down, he knew better. They're just going to keep coming, Angel continued, his voice rising. Unless we make an example out of them. Andy frowned, looking up. What are you talking about? Angel turned to him, a dangerous glint in his eyes. We hit them where it hurts. Take their girls, their money, whatever we can. Let them know they can't mess with us. Andy's stomach turned. He had always followed Angel's lead, but this felt like a step too far. And what happens if they come after us again? This isn't a game, Angel. Angel laughed, a harsh, bitter sound. Of course it's a game. The only difference is I play to win. You want to roll over and let them walk all over us? Be my guest. But I'm not going down without a fight. Andy didn't respond. He knew Angel wouldn't listen, and part of him wasn't sure he wanted to stop him. The anger, the humiliation, it was eating away at him, too. Maybe Angel was right. Maybe the only way to survive in this world was to fight back. A few nights later, they made their move. Angel had spent the day planning, gathering information from his contacts and mapping out their targets. Andy had stayed quiet, his unease growing with each passing hour. By the time the sun set, he was too far in to back out. The plan was simple. They would hit one of the Southside crew's safe houses, a rundown motel on the edge of the city. Angel claimed it was where they kept their cash and their girls. Andy drove the Cadillac, his hands gripping the steering wheel tightly as they approached the motel. Angel sat in the passenger seat, a pistol tucked into his waistband. He had assured Andy that they wouldn't need it, that this was just a show of force. But Andy wasn't so sure. Remember, Angel said as they pulled into the parking lot. We're in and out. No messing around. Andy nodded, his heart pounding as they stepped out of the car. The motel was quiet, its neon sign flickering weakly. Angel led the way, his movements quick and confident. Andy followed, his palms slick with sweat. The door to the room was unlocked, just as Angel had predicted. Inside, the air was thick with the smell of cigarettes and cheap perfume. Two women sat on the bed, their eyes widening as Angel and Andy entered. "Relax, ladies," Angel said, flashing a grin. "We're just here for a little business." The women didn't move, their fear palpable. Andy felt a pang of guilt, but he pushed it aside, focusing on the task at hand. He followed Angel to the dresser, where a stack of cash sat next to a cheap radio. Angel grabbed the money, stuffing it into his jacket. All right, Angel said, turning back to the women. Here's the deal. You're coming with us now. You work for Southside, you deal with us. Got it. The women exchanged nervous glances but didn't protest. Andy avoided their eyes as they shuffled past him, their shoulders hunched. He felt like a thief, stealing not just their money but their freedom. But it was too late to turn back now. The ride back to the apartment was silent. Angel was in high spirits, counting the money as they drove. The two women sat in the back seat, their fear hanging heavy in the air. Andy kept his eyes on the road, his mind racing. When they arrived, Angel wasted no time laying down the rules. "You work for us now," he told the women. "You do what I say when I say it. You got a problem with that, you can leave. But I promise you, it won't be pretty." The women didn't respond, their silence a mixture of fear and resignation. Andy watched from the corner of the room, his stomach churning. He couldn't shake the feeling that they were spiraling out of control, that this would only lead to more trouble. And trouble wasn't far behind. The Southside crew didn't take long to retaliate. A week after the motel raid, Angel and Andy returned to the apartment to find the door kicked in and their belongings trashed. The cash was gone, and the two women were nowhere to be found. Angel's rage was explosive. He tore through the apartment, shouting and cursing as Andy stood in the doorway, numb. The cycle of revenge was spiraling out of control, and Andy didn't know how to stop it. "This isn't over," Angel growled, his eyes blazing. "They think they can take from me? They have no idea who they're messing with." Andy didn't respond. He wasn't sure if Angel was talking about the Southside crew or the city itself. Either way, he knew one thing for certain. There was no going back. Chapter 5: The Enemy Strikes. The days following the raid on their apartment were tense. Angel's anger simmered just below the surface, his sharp tongue and violent outbursts making the already cramped living space unbearable. Andy tried to stay out of his cousin's way, but it was impossible to avoid the storm brewing inside Angel. "They think they can make fools of us," Angel muttered one night, pacing the apartment like a caged animal. His cigarette burned down to the filter, but he barely noticed. "We hit them, and they hit us back. They're testing us, Andy." Andy sat at the kitchen table, his hands wrapped around a cold beer. He didn't respond. He didn't know what to say anymore. The thrill of power Angel had promised was long gone, replaced by a gnawing sense of dread. Andy had wanted control over his life, but this wasn't control. It was chaos. Angel stopped pacing, turning to Andy with a look of determination. "We're not going to let them win. You understand? We're going to hit them harder, and we're going to take back everything they took from us." Andy stared at him, the beer bottle cold in his hand. "And then what? They hit us again? Where does it end?" "It ends when we're on top," Angel snapped. "When they're too scared to come after us." Andy sighed, leaning back in his chair. He could see where this was heading, and it scared him. But as much as he wanted to walk away, he couldn't. Angel had dragged him too deep into this world, and now there was no easy way out. Angel's retaliation plan was simple: strike fast and hard. He had a contact who tipped him off to a Southside drop point, a small strip club where their rivals stashed cash and conducted business. Angel was certain that hitting the club would send a message and give them the upper hand. Andy wasn't so sure. The Southside crew was bigger and more organized than anything they could handle. But Angel wouldn't hear it. "You're either with me, or you're against me," he said, his tone leaving no room for argument. So Andy found himself driving the Cadillac through the city once again, his heart pounding as they approached the club. Angel sat in the passenger seat, a pistol resting on his lap. He had insisted on bringing it, just in case. "Remember the plan," Angel said as they pulled into a side alley near the club. "In and out. No screwing around." Andy nodded, gripping the steering wheel tightly. He didn't trust Angel's version of in and out, but he didn't have a choice. He was in this now, whether he liked it or not. The club was dark and smoky, the thumping bass of the music vibrating through the walls. Angel led the way, his movements quick and purposeful. Andy followed, his nerves on edge. He couldn't shake the feeling that something was about to go horribly wrong. Angel spotted the cash box behind the bar and didn't hesitate. He vaulted over the counter, knocking over bottles as he grabbed the box. The bartender shouted in protest, but Angel silenced him with a glare. "Don't even think about it," Angel growled, brandishing the pistol. The bartender froze, his hands raised. Andy's heart raced as he watched the scene unfold. He wanted to run, to get out of there before things escalated, but his feet felt like they were glued to the floor. Then the doors burst open. The Southside crew had been tipped off. Three men stormed in, their faces twisted with fury. Angel barely had time to react before one of them lunged at him, knocking the pistol from his hand. The cash box clattered to the floor as the two men grappled. Andy's instincts kicked in. He grabbed a nearby stool and swung it at one of the attackers, the impact sending the man stumbling. But it wasn't enough. The other two men overpowered Angel, raining punches down on him as he struggled to fight back. Get the money, one of them shouted. Andy hesitated for a split second before grabbing the cash box and making a run for the door. Angel's shouts echoed behind him, but Andy didn't look back. His survival instincts had taken over, and he wasn't about to stick around to see how the fight ended. Andy didn't stop running until he was back at the car, his chest heaving as he threw the cash box into the back seat. He fumbled with the keys, his hands shaking, as he started the engine. Then he saw Angel. His cousin stumbled out of the club, blood dripping from a gash on his forehead. He limped toward the car, clutching his side. Andy jumped out and helped him into the passenger seat, his adrenaline still pumping. "Drive!" Angel barked, his voice hoarse. Andy didn't need to be told twice. He slammed on the gas, the tires screeching as they sped away from the club. His hands gripped the steering wheel tightly, his knuckles white. "What the hell happened back there?" Andy demanded, glancing at Angel. Angel spat blood onto the floor, his expression grim. "They knew we were coming. Someone tipped them off." Andy's jaw tightened. "You said this was a sure thing." "You said." "I know what I said." Angel snapped, cutting him off. "Just shut up and drive." Back at the apartment, Angel collapsed onto the couch, wincing as he inspected his injuries. Andy paced the room, his anger bubbling to the surface. "This is insane," he said, his voice shaking. "We're gonna get ourselves killed." Angel shot him a glare. "You think I don't know that? You think I don't know how close we came back there? But this is how it works, Andy. You want something, you take it. And if someone tries to stop you, you hit them back harder." Andy stopped pacing, his fists clenched. "This isn't what I signed up for." Angel leaned back, his smirk returning despite the blood on his face. "You signed up for this the moment you said yes. There's no turning back now, kid. You're in this with me." Andy didn't respond. He felt trapped, caught in a web of violence and desperation that seemed impossible to escape. And as he looked at Angel, he realized something. His cousin wasn't going to stop. Not until they were either on top or buried 6 feet under. Chapter 6, The First Kill. The tension between Andy and Angel reached a boiling point in the days following the botched retaliation. Angel nursed his wounds while seething with anger, plotting their next move. Andy, on the other hand, found himself teetering on the edge. Every fiber of his being screamed at him to leave, to escape this cycle of violence, but a strange mix of fear, loyalty, and his own growing rage kept him rooted in place. Angel's confidence, however shaken, didn't waver. He spent hours pacing the apartment, muttering to himself and making phone calls to rally what few allies they had left. Andy stayed quiet, his unease growing with each passing moment. Then Angel proposed something that changed everything. "We need to send a message," Angel said one night, his voice cold and steady. He leaned against the counter, a cigarette dangling from his lips. His face was still bruised from the fight, the dark circles under his eyes making him look even more dangerous. "We can't just take their money and run. We need to hit them where it hurts." Andy frowned, sitting on the edge of the couch. "We've already tried that. Look where it got us." Angel shook his head. "I'm not talking about another raid. I'm talking about sending a real message. Something they'll never forget." Andy's stomach twisted. He had a feeling he knew where this was heading. "What kind of message?" Angel's grin was sharp, almost feral. "We grab one of their girls. Show them what happens when they cross us." Andy's blood ran cold. "You're talking about killing someone." Angel shrugged, as if it were the most natural thing in the world. "Sometimes you gotta get your hands dirty to get what you want. This isn't about playing nice, Andy. This is about survival." Andy stood, his heart pounding. "You're insane. You think killing someone is gonna solve anything? It'll just make things worse." Angel's expression darkened. He stepped closer, his voice lowering. "Listen to me. If we don't do this, they'll keep coming. They'll kill us both and leave our bodies in some alley. Is that what you want?" Andy stared at him, his mind racing. He didn't want to kill anyone. But Angel's words planted a seed of doubt in his mind. Maybe this was the only way to protect themselves. Maybe this was what it took to survive. The plan was set in motion the next night. Angel had scoped out a rival prostitute working near one of the Southside Crew's territories. A young woman in her early 20s, vulnerable and alone. She was an easy target, Angel claimed, someone who wouldn't be missed. Andy felt sick as he drove the Cadillac through the city, his knuckles white on the steering wheel. Angel sat in the passenger seat, calm and collected, as if they were going on a routine errand. The pistol rested on his lap, a grim reminder of what they were about to do. "There she is," Angel said, nodding toward a figure standing under a flickering streetlight. The woman was thin and pale, her arms wrapped around herself as if trying to ward off the cold. She looked up as they pulled to a stop, her eyes wary. Angel rolled down the window, flashing a charming smile. "Hey there, need a ride?" The woman hesitated, glancing around before stepping closer. "Depends. You looking for something specific?" "Yeah," Angel said, his tone smooth. "A good time." She nodded and climbed into the back seat, her movements cautious. Andy didn't look at her as he pulled away from the curb, his heart pounding. He focused on the road, trying to block out the weight of what they were about to do. Angel directed Andy to a secluded area on the outskirts of the city, a deserted lot surrounded by overgrown weeds and broken-down cars. The woman shifted uncomfortably in her seat, her instincts clearly telling her something was wrong. "This doesn't look like a good spot," she said, her voice uneasy. "Relax," Angel said, his smile never wavering. "We're just looking for some privacy." Andy parked the car, his hands shaking as he turned off the engine. He stayed in the driver's seat, his mind screaming at him to stop this, to do something. But he couldn't move. He felt paralyzed, trapped by his fear and Angel's dominance. Angel stepped out of the car and opened the back door, gesturing for the woman to follow. "Come on, let's get comfortable." She hesitated, her eyes darting between Angel and Andy. "I don't think." Angel grabbed her arm, his grip tightening. "I said come on." Panic flashed in her eyes as she tried to pull away, but Angel was too strong. He dragged her out of the car, his grin turning cruel. "Stop struggling. It'll be over soon." Andy watched in horror as Angel wrestled the woman to the ground, his hands closing around her throat. Her screams turned to gasps, her body thrashing as she tried to fight him off. Andy wanted to look away, but he couldn't. He was frozen, his breath coming in shallow, uneven bursts. Then it was over. The woman's body went limp, her wide, unseeing eyes staring up at the night sky. Angel let go, sitting back on his heels and breathing heavily. A strange look of satisfaction crossed his face as he glanced at Andy. "You see that?" Angel said, his voice filled with a dark exhilaration. "That's power. That's control." Andy stared at the lifeless body, his stomach churning. He felt like he was going to be sick. But beneath the horror, there was something else, a strange, unsettling thrill. He hated himself for feeling it, but he couldn't deny it was there. Angel stood, brushing off his hands. "Come on, help me dump her." Andy hesitated, his mind screaming at him to run. But he didn't. He climbed out of the car and helped Angel drag the body to a nearby ditch. The whole time, he felt like he was outside of himself, watching from a distance as they covered their tracks. When it was done, they drove back to the apartment in silence. Andy couldn't stop thinking about the look in the woman's eyes, the way her body had gone still. He felt a deep, gnawing guilt, but there was something else, too, something dark and undeniable. He had crossed a line, and there was no turning back. Chapter 7, Addicted to Death. The first kill changed everything for Andy. He barely spoke for days, replaying the scene over and over in his mind. He wanted to forget the woman's face, her eyes wide with terror, but it haunted him. Every time he closed his eyes, he saw her. Every time he tried to justify what had happened, he felt the weight of his complicity crushing him. But beneath the guilt and horror, something darker festered. Angel was right. In that brief, harrowing moment, Andy had felt something he couldn't explain. Something that terrified him as much as it thrilled him. Power. Control. For a man who had spent his life feeling small, invisible, and rejected, it was intoxicating. Angel noticed the change in Andy almost immediately. His cousin, once hesitant and uncertain, now seemed quieter, more focused. It was as though something inside him had been unlocked, and Angel wasted no time exploiting it. "You did good," Angel said one evening as they sat in the dimly lit apartment, the air thick with cigarette smoke. "I knew you had it in you." Andy didn't respond. He stared at the beer bottle in his hand, turning it slowly. His thoughts were a tangled mess, but one thing was clear. He had crossed a line, and there was no going back. Angel leaned forward, his eyes gleaming. "You feel it, don't you? That rush. That power. It's like nothing else." Andy's jaw tightened. He hated how well Angel could read him, how easily he could manipulate him. But he couldn't deny it. As much as he hated what they had done, he couldn't stop thinking about it. The power, the control, it was like a drug, and he was already hooked. The next time came easier. Angel had been itching to strike again, and Andy, despite his reservations, didn't resist. The guilt was still there, gnawing at the edges of his mind, but it was drowned out by the growing hunger for that dark, exhilarating thrill. This time, they targeted a streetwalker near downtown Los Angeles. Angel drove the Cadillac, scanning the sidewalks like a predator hunting prey. Andy sat in the passenger seat, his heart pounding as they cruised the streets. "There," Angel said, nodding toward a woman standing under a flickering streetlight. She was young, maybe in her mid-twenties, with long blonde hair and a wary expression. She looked up as they pulled over, her eyes narrowing. "Hey," Angel said, leaning out the window. "Need a ride?" The woman hesitated, then shrugged. "Depends. You paying?" "Of course," Angel said smoothly, flashing a grin. "Hop in." She climbed into the back seat, her movements cautious. Andy glanced at her in the rearview mirror, his stomach twisting. She was just another victim to Angel, another pawn in his twisted game. But to Andy, she was a reminder of how far he had fallen. The routine was the same. Angel directed Andy to a secluded spot on the outskirts of the city, his voice calm and confident. The woman started to grow uneasy as the streets grew darker and quieter. But by the time she realized something was wrong, it was too late. Angel made the first move, grabbing her by the arm and pulling her out of the car. She screamed, but it was cut short as Angel's hand closed around her throat. Andy watched, frozen, as the life drained from her eyes. "Your turn," Angel said, his voice low and commanding. Andy hesitated, his breath coming in short, shallow bursts. He wanted to run, to get back in the car and drive away, but he couldn't. He was trapped, caught in Angel's web of manipulation and his own growing addiction. Slowly, he stepped forward, his hands trembling as he reached for the woman. The moment his hands closed around her neck, he felt it again, that rush, that dark, exhilarating power. It was horrifying and thrilling all at once, and it consumed him. When it was over, Angel clapped him on the back, his grin wide. "See, you're a natural." Andy didn't respond. He couldn't. He felt like he was drowning, suffocated by the weight of what he had done. But beneath the guilt, that dark hunger grew stronger. The pattern continued. Angel and Andy became a twisted team, prowling the streets of Los Angeles for their next victim. They targeted prostitutes and vulnerable women, dumping their bodies on a secluded hill outside the city. The media began to take notice, dubbing them the Hill Killers. Andy watched the news reports with a strange mix of fear and pride, knowing they were outsmarting the police. But with each kill, Andy felt himself slipping further into the darkness. The guilt and horror were still there, but they were overshadowed by the growing addiction to that rush of power. He hated himself for what he had become, but he couldn't stop. It was like a drug, and Angel was his enabler. One night, as they drove through the city, Andy finally spoke. "How long are we going to keep doing this?" Angel glanced at him, his expression calm. "As long as we want. Nobody's going to stop us." Andy frowned, gripping the steering wheel tightly. "But what happens if they catch us? What happens if?" "They won't catch us," Angel said, cutting him off. "You're overthinking it, kid. Just stick to the plan and we'll be fine." Andy didn't respond. He wasn't so sure. The more they killed, the more reckless Angel became. And the more reckless Angel became, the more Andy began to wonder how long they could keep this up. That night, as they dumped another body on the hill, Andy stood in the darkness, staring down at the lifeless figure. He felt a strange mix of emotions, guilt, horror, and that dark, undeniable thrill. He knew he was in too deep, that there was no going back. But he also knew something else. This couldn't last forever. As Angel lit a cigarette and leaned against the car, Andy stared out at the city lights in the distance. He felt the weight of his actions pressing down on him, suffocating him. And for the first time, he began to wonder if Angel was leading them both to their own destruction. Chapter 8, A Web of Lies. The city buzzed with whispers of the Hill Killers, their gruesome handiwork dominating the news. The police were stumped, the media sensationalized every grisly detail, and the streets were awash with fear. Andy watched the unfolding chaos from the safety of Angel's apartment, his emotions tangled in a web of guilt and exhilaration. Angel thrived in the chaos. Every news segment, every headline seemed to energize him, feeding his twisted sense of power. "They're calling us geniuses," Angel said one evening, grinning as he flipped through channels. "You hear that? The cops can't even touch us." Andy sat at the kitchen table, staring at a bottle of whiskey. The alcohol dulled the edge of his anxiety, but not enough to erase the faces of their victims. "They'll catch us eventually," he muttered. Angel laughed, a sharp, mocking sound. "Not if we're smart. And we are. You just need to relax. Enjoy it. Enjoy it." Andy snapped, looking up at his cousin. "How am I supposed to enjoy this? We're killing people, Angel." Angel's grin faltered for a moment before he waved a dismissive hand. They're just whores, Andy. Nobody cares about them. Andy's stomach churned at Angel's callousness. He wanted to argue, to push back, but he didn't. He couldn't. He had gone too far. And the truth was, part of him still craved that dark thrill. It scared him how much he needed it, how much he needed Angel to justify it. The LAPD's investigation began to intensify. Andy kept a close eye on the news, scanning for any signs that they were closing in. The pressure was suffocating, but Angel seemed unfazed. "They don't have a clue," Angel said one night as they watched a press conference. The police chief stood behind a podium, his face grim. "All they know is what we want them to know." Andy frowned, his unease growing. "You're getting sloppy." Angel raised an eyebrow. "Sloppy? We've been doing this for months, and they're no closer to finding us than they were at the start. But they're looking harder," Andy said. "They're connecting the dots. It's only a matter of time before they figure something out." Angel leaned back on the couch, his expression calm. "Let them look. We're ghosts, Andy. They'll never catch us." The cracks in their partnership began to show during their next kill. Angel, emboldened by their perceived invincibility, became more reckless. He chose a victim in a well-lit area, ignoring Andy's protests. "This is too risky," Andy hissed as they parked the car near a crowded street. "There are too many people around." "Relax," Angel said, his tone laced with irritation. "We've done this enough times. We know what we're doing." Andy's gut told him otherwise, but he followed Angel anyway. They lured the woman into the car, as they had so many times before, and drove to a secluded area. But something was different this time. The woman fought back harder, her screams echoing in the night. "Shut her up." Angel barked, struggling to keep her restrained. Andy panicked, his hands trembling as he tried to grab her. She clawed at him, her nails raking across his face. In a blind frenzy, Andy wrapped his hands around her throat, squeezing until she went limp. The silence that followed was deafening. Andy stumbled back, his chest heaving. His hands shook as he stared at her lifeless body, the weight of his actions crushing him. Angel clapped him on the shoulder, his grin returning. "See, you've got it under control." Andy didn't respond. His mind was spinning, the dark thrill of the kill now overshadowed by a crushing sense of dread. He felt like he was spiraling, trapped in a nightmare of his own making. The aftermath of the kill was messy. Angel had left evidence, a cigarette but near the body, a detail he brushed off as insignificant. But Andy couldn't shake the feeling that they were slipping, that their luck was running out. He began to withdraw, spending more time alone and avoiding Angel's schemes. But the guilt and fear only grew, gnawing at him until he felt like he was suffocating. He couldn't sleep without seeing their faces, couldn't leave the apartment without feeling like someone was watching him. Angel noticed the change and confronted him one night. "What's your problem?" he demanded, his voice sharp. "You've been acting weird." Andy looked up from his drink, his jaw tight. "We're gonna get caught." Angel laughed, a harsh, humorless sound. "You're losing it, kid. Nobody's gonna catch us. You need to pull yourself together." Andy clenched his fists, his frustration boiling over. "This isn't a game, Angel. We're not invincible. Sooner or later, they'll figure it out." Angel's grin faded, his expression hardening. "And what are you going to do about it? Run to the cops? Turn yourself in." Andy froze, the accusation hitting him like a punch to the gut. He hadn't thought about it, hadn't let himself think about it. But the idea lingered in the back of his mind, a desperate escape from the darkness consuming him. Angel leaned closer, his voice lowering. "You're in this with me, Andy. There's no getting out. You try anything stupid, and I'll make sure you regret it." The threat hung in the air, unspoken but clear. Andy nodded, swallowing the lump in his throat. He felt trapped, tangled in Angel's web of lies and violence with no way out. As the days passed, Andy's paranoia grew. He began to see shadows where there were none, hear footsteps that didn't exist. He felt like the walls were closing in, like the city itself was conspiring against him. And through it all, Angel remained calm, confident in their ability to outsmart the world. But Andy wasn't so sure anymore. He could feel the cracks forming, the fragile foundation of their operation threatening to crumble beneath them. For the first time, Andy began to think about what would happen if it all fell apart, and whether he would survive it. Chapter 9, The Crack in the Facade. The whispers about the Hill Killers grew louder as the bodies continued to surface. The media frenzy reached fever pitch, with reporters speculating about the killers' motives, methods, and identities. Andy sat in front of the television most nights, his nerves fraying as every news segment felt like it was closing in on him. Angel, however, basked in the attention. "They're making us into legends," he said one evening, sprawled across the couch with a cigarette in hand. We've got them eating out of the palm of our hands. Andy stared at him, the TV's glow flickering across his face. This isn't a game, Angel. We're not legends. We're criminals. Murderers. Angel's grin didn't falter. And? The world's full of murderers, Andy. At least we're good at it. Andy didn't respond. He was tired of arguing, tired of trying to reason with Angel. The man was a force of nature, unstoppable and unrelenting, and Andy was too deep in his shadow to escape. The pressure mounted when the LAPD announced they had leads on the killers. At a televised press conference, the chief of police revealed that evidence left at the scene of the latest crime had been analyzed, cigarette butts and tire tracks. Andy's blood turned cold. Angel smirked, unimpressed. They're bluffing. They've got nothing. They have something, Andy shot back. You said we wouldn't leave evidence. Angel waved him off. Relax. They can't pin anything on us. You're getting worked up over nothing. But it wasn't nothing, and Andy knew it. Angel's arrogance was starting to catch up with them, and Andy could feel the walls closing in. The apartment that had once felt like their fortress now felt like a prison, the air thick with paranoia and distrust. The cracks in their partnership deepened during their next outing. Angel, emboldened by his own delusions of invincibility, decided to target a high-profile area, a busy street lined with clubs and bars. Andy knew it was a terrible idea, but Angel wouldn't listen. We need to keep them guessing, Angel said as they cruised through the neon-lit streets. Show them we're not afraid. This is reckless, Andy muttered, gripping the steering wheel. You're going to get us caught. Angel shot him a sharp look. Stop being such a coward. If you can't handle it, maybe you're not cut out for this. Andy's jaw tightened, the insult stinging more than he wanted to admit. He hated Angel's control over him, hated how easily his cousin could manipulate him. But he hated himself even more for letting it happen. They lured their next victim from the crowded street, a woman in her 30s, dressed in a tight black dress and high heels. She climbed into the car with a nervous smile, clearly wary but intrigued by Angel's charm. As they drove to the outskirts of the city, Andy's hands shook on the steering wheel. He could feel the tension in the air, the unspoken weight of what was about to happen. He wanted to stop the car, to turn around and let the woman go, but he couldn't. Angel's voice echoed in his mind, drowning out his conscience. When they reached the secluded spot, Angel made his move. The woman screamed, fighting back harder than any of their previous victims. Andy hesitated, watching in horror as Angel struggled to subdue her. Help me. Angel barked, his voice sharp with anger. Andy froze, his heart pounding. He couldn't move, couldn't breathe. The woman's screams filled the night, her desperate pleas cutting through the darkness. Then Angel snapped. With a guttural growl, he slammed the woman against the car, his hands tightening around her throat. Andy watched, paralyzed, as the life drained from her eyes. When it was over, Angel turned to him, his face flushed with anger and exhilaration. What the hell is wrong with you? Angel spat. You froze up. Andy didn't respond. He couldn't. He felt sick, his stomach churning as he stared at the lifeless body on the ground. Angel lit a cigarette, his hands steady despite what had just happened. You're getting soft, Andy. You need to get your head straight. Andy swallowed hard, his throat dry. This is getting out of control. Angel laughed, a harsh, bitter sound. Out of control? This is control. We own this city, Andy. They're afraid of us. That's power. But Andy didn't feel powerful. He felt trapped, suffocated by the weight of their crimes and Angel's growing recklessness. He knew it was only a matter of time before everything came crashing down. Back at the apartment, the tension between them boiled over. Angel's arrogance had reached a breaking point, and Andy couldn't stay silent any longer. You're gonna get us killed, Andy said, his voice shaking with anger. This isn't about power anymore. It's about your ego. Angel smirked, unbothered by the accusation. You've been riding my coattails this whole time, Andy. Don't act like you're better than me. I'm not like you, Andy shot back. I didn't want any of this. Angel's expression darkened, his eyes narrowing. You made your choice, Andy. Don't forget that. You're in this just as deep as I am. Andy clenched his fists, his anger boiling over. Maybe I don't want to be. The words hung in the air, heavy and dangerous. Angel stared at him, his jaw tightening. For the first time, Andy saw a flicker of doubt in his cousin's eyes. You're not going anywhere, Angel said finally, his voice low and menacing. You think you can just walk away? You think they won't find you? You need me, Andy. Don't forget that. Andy didn't respond. He turned away, the weight of Angel's words pressing down on him. He felt trapped, suffocated by the web of lies and violence they had created. And for the first time, he began to wonder if the only way out was to betray the one person who had dragged him into this nightmare. Chapter 10, Echoes on the Hill. The tension between Andy and Angel reached its breaking point in the weeks following their last kill. The cracks in their partnership had widened into an unbridgeable chasm, and Andy could no longer ignore the truth. Angel wasn't just a danger to others. He was a danger to Andy himself. The LAPD intensified its investigation, releasing a sketch of two suspects based on witness accounts near the latest crime scene. The resemblance was close enough to send a jolt of panic through Andy. Every news broadcast, every headline, felt like a ticking time bomb. Angel, however, remained defiant. "Let them try," he sneered, watching the news from the couch. "They'll never catch us." But Andy didn't share Angel's confidence. The net was closing in, and Angel's recklessness had made them vulnerable. For the first time, Andy began to consider the unthinkable, turning on Angel to save himself. One night, Angel came home drunk, his swagger more exaggerated than usual. He tossed a stack of cash onto the table and slumped into a chair, lighting a cigarette with unsteady hands. "What's this?" Andy asked, eyeing the money. "Down payment," Angel said with a smirk. "Some guys from Southside. They want us to take care of a problem for them." Andy froze. "You're taking jobs now? You think that's a good idea?" Angel shrugged, exhaling a plume of smoke. "Money's money. Besides, it keeps them off our backs. Everyone wins." Andy's chest tightened. He had thought Angel couldn't sink any lower, but this was a new level of recklessness. Aligning themselves with the Southside crew was a dangerous move, one that would only draw more attention. "We can't keep doing this," Andy said, his voice trembling. "It's getting too dangerous." Angel laughed, the sound bitter and mocking. "Too dangerous? This is what we signed up for, Andy. Don't tell me you're losing your nerve." Andy clenched his fists, his frustration boiling over. "You're gonna get us killed." Angel's grin faded, his eyes narrowing. "Maybe you're the one who needs to worry about that." The threat was unspoken but clear. Andy felt a chill run down his spine as Angel leaned back in his chair, his smirk returning. "Don't forget who made you, Andy. Without me, you'd still be that pathetic loser back in Arizona." Andy didn't respond. He turned away, his mind racing. The time for second-guessing was over. He had to act. The next day, Andy left the apartment under the pretense of running errands. Instead, he went to a payphone in a quiet corner of the city and dialed a number he had memorized from a news report. "LAPD tip line," a woman's voice said. Andy hesitated, his heart pounding. He glanced over his shoulder, half expecting to see Angel lurking nearby. "I have information about the Hill Killers," he said finally, his voice low. The line went silent for a moment before the woman spoke again. "Can you tell us what you know?" Andy swallowed hard. "I can't talk here. I'll leave something at the corner of 5th and Maple." "Midnight." He hung up before the woman could respond, his hands shaking as he stepped away from the phone. His stomach churned with a mix of fear and relief. He had taken the first step, but there was no turning back now. That night, Andy waited for Angel to fall asleep before slipping out of the apartment. He carried a manila envelope containing photographs, receipts, and other pieces of evidence he had quietly collected over the past few weeks. It wasn't enough to convict them outright, but it was enough to point the LAPD in the right direction. At the corner of 5th and Maple, Andy placed the envelope inside a trash can, covering it with discarded newspapers. He lingered for a moment, his mind racing with doubts. Was he doing the right thing? Or was he signing his own death warrant? He forced himself to walk away, his steps quick and unsteady. He couldn't think about the consequences. Not yet. The fallout came faster than Andy expected. 2 days later, the LAPD raided the apartment. Angel had just returned from a night out, and his confusion quickly turned to rage as officers burst through the door, guns drawn. "Andy!" Angel shouted, his voice filled with fury. "What did you do?" Andy stood frozen as the officers pinned Angel to the ground, cuffing his hands behind his back. He felt a surge of relief mixed with guilt as Angel's shouts turned into threats. "You think this is over?" Angel yelled as they dragged him toward the door. "You think you're safe? I'll find you, Andy. I'll—" The door slammed shut, cutting off Angel's words. Andy sank into a chair, his hands trembling. He had done it. He had ended the nightmare. But as the silence settled over the apartment, he realized the weight of his actions hadn't lifted. If anything, it felt heavier. In the weeks that followed, Andy kept a low profile. He avoided the news, unable to face the media frenzy surrounding Angel's arrest. He didn't know what would happen next, if Angel would stay silent or try to drag him down with him. But for now, he was free. Or so he thought. One night, Andy returned to the apartment to find a note pinned to the door. The words were scrawled in Angel's handwriting, jagged and furious. "I'll see you on the hill." Andy stared at the note, his chest tightening. The police had Angel in custody. He was supposed to be safe. But the fear lingered, gnawing at him like a shadow he couldn't escape. He tore the note down and stepped inside, locking the door behind him. The apartment was silent, but Andy couldn't shake the feeling that he was being watched. He sat on the couch, staring at the darkened windows, his thoughts racing. Angel's words echoed in his mind, a haunting reminder of the darkness they had shared. Andy had escaped, but he knew the shadows of their crimes would follow him for the rest of his life. And on some nights, when the city was quiet and the wind whispered through the hills, Andy swore he could hear Angel's laughter, echoing in the distance, waiting for him to slip. The end.